Matthew 6, I think. Verse 5. Remember, the thing that we're talking about is be not hasty to leave his presence. We talked about how every time you move from the now, you've left his presence. Every time, and you leave his presence, even as a strong believer, when things happen that you don't like. That's when the infamous Buckner scripture comes into being. Isaiah 57. You go up to the mountain to seek solutions with sorcery on the mountaintop. Are you here, mister?
That's not Isaiah 57.
Just whisper.
53.
I thought 57 was believed very important.
That's 53.
That's where I was.
I figured. You went somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was Isaiah 57. You leave the presence.
Kiss my ass.
He's there now.
He's there. You're there now. Now come back.
Now
come back to Matthew 6, verse 5. When thou prayest, the instant something happens that you don't like, that causes you to have a consciousness of you or yours. When thou prayest, a consciousness of self is the signal to pray. It doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I can't tell you how many times Harry stopped wanting to go to restaurants with me, because when I saw people pray with their, they'd grab hands and pray in the restaurant, I'd walk by them and tell them, you've gotten your reward.
You think they knew what
that means? Huh?
Do you think they knew what that means?
Several of them did, and they got very mad at me. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Now the closet is, that's a silly word, but let's go to Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked one, even mine enemies and foes, and almost every time when it says wicked or evil in either testament, it says the wicked one. And who is the wicked one? Who is the evil one? You. Especially Michael. Now, the reason is because Michael forgets this all the time.
What?
Forget you are the wicked one. The evil one. The instead of Christ. When the wicked one, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. If I desire to go to the house of the Lord someday, or when I die, or even on the feast days, then I have missed the point. I'm still a child. Because my life then is occupied with childish things. But if I know that every time that there is that something occurs that I don't like, that something happens that causes me and myself to put my eyes on myself for any reason, I know that's the Holy Spirit doing one thing and one thing only. He's returning me to his secret pavilion, or my closet, if you will. When you pray, enter the prayer closet. Remember, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. The place under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat, where your life is hid, where you are living 24 hours a day, hopefully, that is the secret place. That is the prayer closet. That is your permanent home. That is the place that you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you're there because he is there. But every time there's consciousness of self, you've left the secret place, you've left the pavilion, and you've returned to the childish things. And everybody see this. It's not that you're going to heaven someday. It's not that you're going to cross into Beulah land someday. It's that you're now. You're there now. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so critical. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It'll never be done on earth, because the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is always in earth. And until you see that, you will be deceived constantly. Because every single time that something occurs where there's an apparent need or apparent something to change or something to do, then instead of that seeing as the signal to return under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat in the heavens, seated with him, you lean on your own arm, or you let anger take over, or you let judgment take over. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. But you leave and forsake him every single time you're deceived, in the same way that Eve and Adam were deceived. Can you possibly comprehend this? To never, ever, ever again make you the subject of your sentence. Make your future, your life, nothing about you. And any need that you think you have is the Holy Spirit coming and telling you to return to that place of no need. For the Lord is your shepherd, I shall not want. To me, and just from what I hear and what I observe here, there is nothing more important for you than to know this right now. Because there's still too often where you're deceived in the same way. So let nothing confuse you. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity of simply returning to your home. If you don't want to do that, as I've the cliche is, if you've got rivers to cross and mountains to climb, then you better go do it so you can find out the only place of any hope, of any sanity, of any soberness. It's location of sphere. It's under the wings of the cherubim, where you see perfectly. When it says today, well, it is still called today. exhort one another daily. Well, it is still called today. Remember how many times that's repeated over and over and over in Hebrews 3? Exhort one another daily. Well, it is still called today. Return to the rest. Enter into the rest. The rest isn't some psychological or physical place. The rest is on the mercy seat. In your prayer closet is the way it's defined in the New Testament, but it means this mercy seat. There is never, never, never an excuse to be out of the rest. There is no situation that you can be in. That's what these psalms are about. Gary, what's going on?
I keep hearing the offerings in this of Christ. Because if you ever find yourself out of the rest, if you just remember what he covered in his offering, you're home. Because there's no place for you to ponder your guilt and pour away yourself.
Well, by one offering, you've been perfected forever. Let's look at it some more. Go to Psalm 31.
He didn't do it before I did.
In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Now, it's always and ever for his namesake. For his namesake. For his namesake. I do this not for you. I do it for my holy name's sake. Even, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. You got it? Are you starting to find out maybe that you're not the center of the universe? You're not the subject of anybody's sentence except yours. Even when somebody else uses you as the subject of their sentence, it's only in relationship to them. And it's pure evil. Gary, you're hiding. Why are you hiding?
Yeah, that was a perfect rest. Right? Yeah, before now I'm just Betty.
Yeah. Whoa,
it's always Judy.
I wasn't playing.
There, that's better.
You have no cloak for your sin.
Yeah. I was covered there.
Do you see the massive deception of the evil one? Because everything is about you.
Was Christ quoting this on the cross?
That's all he did was quote the psalm.
Well, because he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." I've never seen that before anywhere in the Bible.
Remember, the prayers were written by the Spirit of Christ in David and in the 10 others. For Christ in the flesh as he walked. Now they're written for Christ in you, the hope of glory. They have absolutely nothing to do with you except as the vessel to contain that mystery. But think, stop. How much of your life have you spent with you as the subject of your sentence? It's endless. And he put thousands and thousands of obstacles in your path, hoping you'd stop and inquire of him. But the really sick part is, you learn to act, to forge on ahead, while you dwelt in the I motive, instead of not my will, but thy will. And what's really evil is you do it in God's name. It's evil beyond evil. Anybody have any response so far?
Well, that whole thing, that's hope for the flesh. It's, you know, you go there, you hope, you know, for these endless things that'll let you live.
The church of the whore, the church of Babylon, the church of dispensationalism, the church of free will. Church for which time is required, the church of progress.
Church of garlic.
Garlic? I have no idea what that means. It's a weightism. Sometime we ought to write down all the weightisms. There's been probably three or four books full over the years.
Oh, yeah. I don't forget that moment.
That's the favorite.
How about you get a good photograph of Wade to put on the Bible study page on the website? No, like this morning.
Well, wait till we have place to power
examples. Go down. We're going to spend all day on this. Let's go down to verse 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked one be ashamed. Let them that be silent in the grave, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things, proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. No, it's not talking about me talking about Benny Hinn, or you talking about me. It's talking about you talking about you. You got it? The proud, the contemptuous. Oh, but I'm just being sincere, Father. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Do you see where the secret place is? Where his pavilion is? Why it's so important that you know that you are seated with him in the temple on the mercy seat, hiding under his shadow. Let's go to Psalm 91. You did not.
I came very, very close.
Close don't count, spiritual. What are you trying to be sexy? Your shirt's unbuttoned. That's what you always say to me.
Well, I got a t-shirt at
me. Maybe you got a V-neck t-shirt.
Well, it's not showing.
Showing a little flesh there, are you, Ronnie? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, and it means in the word abide there, in the tense, it's abide continuously, never leave, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where is the shadow of the Almighty? It's under the wings of the cherubim. Why does it say throughout the scriptures that he brought them on wings of eagles? Because he brought them as they sat under the shadow, under the wings of the cherubim, on the mercy seat. I don't care if you're talking in Genesis or Revelation. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him only will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from a snare of the fowler, from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. It shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked one. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy only habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Thou shalt bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. This is all talking about Christ in you and where that life is seated. When he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it's more true than gravity. But how many times do you leave Him? By leaving His presence. You leave His presence every time you lean on your own arm of understanding. Every time you try to figure something out. Let's go all the way back to Genesis 28. 28. I thought you did. This is the promises thy seed, in verse 14, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into, it doesn't say this land, into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee. Remember, you got to hear this. When the land, the meek shall inherit the earth. That's not talking about this hunk of dust. That's the promise. The promise to Abraham. The land of the promise. And it's all finished. We're there. He cannot leave us nor forsake us. He's wrought all your works in you to bring you to this point so that you will see the stupidity and emptiness of leaving His presence ever again. So it will become so strange for you, for your mind to make you the subject of your sentence. So that you never again give thought to what you're going to say or do because it's in His hands. You can't be nervous. You can only be in peace. You can't be upset. it's over. And it's all about whether or not you stay in His presence or you go crawling off the mercy seat to muck around in the mire. Oh, but I can be in control then. Don't you see, the minute you have a predetermined course of action about anything, the minute you're in any other place than abandonment of self, what God sees is that you are trying to return to the way of the evil one.
What the?
Evil one calling.
That was the most appropriate ring I've ever heard.
Evil one calling. Satan's on the line.
Can you see why in Hebrews and all over the place it says, be content with what state you're in? For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The lack of contentment, the lack of peace, has nothing to do with trying to do something for God. It has to do with your acting and leaving His promise.
We talk about the meek inheriting the earth. It's like Christ has inherited you. That puts you in that position to see rightly, and abandonment is not a chore. It's just a
Let's go back to one quick minute. Let me just read the reference verse. Ecclesiastes 8:3, be not hasty to go out of His sight or to go out of His presence. Stand not in the evil thing or the evil place. So you go out of His presence every time you leave the instant. And the question that you have is, well, how can I survive? What can I do? I've been taught all my life to leave the instant, to make plans, to visualize, to do all these. You know, well, then you have to decide who you're going to follow. This is clear to me. It says there's nothing clearer. If you want to keep doing the ways of the world, that's fine, but why do you stay here? That's just goofy. It's like you're a spiritual masochist. Beat me, beat me. Hit me, hit me. Same goes to anybody that listens to me on the internet. It's just goofy. Why listen to some idiot like me when you've got things to do, goals to achieve? I'll just make fun of you. Anybody else have any? Kevin, you've been since you said that smart alecky thing at the beginning, you've been very silent.
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you?
That was Michael.
You were talking about the shadow.
Dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty?
The scripture I thought of was the angel told Mary that the power of the Most High will overshadow.
Amen.
It's almost like the mercy seat came down upon Mary.
Amen, exactly.
Yeah, and there's that scripture where Christ is looking at Jerusalem and saying how often He would have gathered you under His wings.
But you would not.
I was thinking about the stuff that the wisdom that you're taught when you're growing up. You're taught that by a failure of a failure of a failure of a failure. They give you wisdom that works within really, really small contained parameters. And the examples that they use to spur you on are, you look at it and you think, oh, there's a person who's rich or there's a person who's powerful, and you assume that they're happy. And it's all wrong.
Well, that's why he says, I mean, you are of your father the devil. Lust you do or his lust. He was a liar from the beginning. That's all you can do. You can only lie. And a lie from God's standpoint is anything that changes with time or anything that isn't universally true. So my God, our whole system is based on lies. Your whole internal structure is a lie. And when you promote that structure, you are a liar. Amen? Ms. Josanna, any additions?
But it's not just partly wrong. It's not just mostly wrong.
It's just wrong.
It's all
wrong.
That's just wrong, Ryan.
It's staggering the proportions.
That's just wrong.